Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the mic.
Up the inside is Chain of Lightning. Chain of Lightning, the grey, and Bella Nipotina. Magic Time running on. Imperatrix grinding. I Wish I Win is starting to launch his attack. And then came Sunshine in Paris. Chain of Lightning, Bella Nipotina. Chain of Lightning, Bella Nipotina. Chain of Lightning kicking. Chain of Lightning's won the TJ, beating Bella Nipotina. And I Wish I Win.
That's right, Chain of Lightning, a TJ Smith champion, and Peter Moody is a TJ Smith winning trainer for consecutive years. Moods, welcome to your podcast, Moody on the mic. It's we have to start with the big news, though. Chain of Lightning, of course, winning on the weekend, beating I Wish I Win. Many said you'd have preferred I Wish I Win to take the chocolates given you're in the ownership, but I'll push back on that because the Ramsey family have been bloody good to you over the years. And
yeah, no, we've had quite a few group ones over the years, but probably been a decade or so between drinks for myself and the Ramsey family. But no, listen, it was a fantastic result. Terrific win. She's a multiple group two winning mare, deserved of a group one. The conditions suited her on the day. Damien Lane, lovely ride, made her own luck and got the job done nicely. And obviously the first group one in partnership with my co-trainer, Catherine Coleman, which was very special for her also.
And Mytho, you were, welcome to you. You were on hand there at Randwick on Saturday. Were you there? Did you get around Moods and just be a complete serial pest and be owner for the day style with Chain of Lightning, or did you just keep to yourself?
Well, you've missed a very important point here, Rog, and this is where research is everything when it comes to this show. And given that Peter and myself do none, I would have expected you and perhaps Rain Man to do a little, because it was a Moody on the mic trifecta of sorts, because Bella Nipotina was sold by Rosemont Stud at the Melbourne Premier Sales, and solid as I am, I stood with Michael Christian, who bred Bella Nipotina and entrusted me with the process of selling her a few years ago at that sale. I stood with him and his brother and cheered for the runner-up, but then was ecstatic when Moods filled the other placings and thought, this is just going to be, this will make for an unbelievable introduction on Wednesday's program of Moody on the Mic when we get that the trifecta in the TJ. But no, not a freaking mention of the fact that Mytho's played a little role in the trifecta. That's why it's called fucking Moody on the Mic, isn't it? You know, no Mytho on the mic ever. Well, I think I'm about to go rogue now after this insult. I am going to start up Mytho on the mic.
Right, man, I'm going to cut him off because that is one of the great tenuous links.
We can have a great time.
Ever heard.
We can have a great time with Mytho.
He's still going.
Shut the fuck up.
When it comes to tenuous links, Rain Man, that's right up there.
That's pretty next level from Mytho. I think the insult was thrown my way that I was trying to make it all about me. But, yeah, Peter Moods comes out and trains first and third in one of the biggest sprint races on the Australian racing calendar, and Mytho's got to try to get him inject himself in there. I personally was just very excited for Moods. I was very excited.
Oh, disappointing.
I didn't have anything on Chain of Lightning on the weekend, but Chain of Lightning, she has been very good to this show, to the listeners of the show over the journey.
All the winners I tipped last weekend. I tipped winner after winner. Not a mention.
This is Moody on the mic, and Moods, once again, has become the master. He's become the master of a hit and run trip to Sydney. Moods, like, you used to have the satellite stable in Sydney during your first time training, but now, since you've been returned, you don't have that many runs in Sydney, but when you do, you're basically a guaranteed a Group 1 win.
One little insight. He was very, very smooth on top on Saturday too.
Yes, he was, and he was there. It was the double tip. He was at the races in that state. He made interstate journey, and he was smooth on top, the double Moody tip.
He just thought he was going to be collecting the trophy for the other horse.
Didn't worry me, boys, as long as one of them saluted. And I didn't realise, you know, it's the first time I've watched the replay there, and I didn't realise how close I Wish I Win got. I reckon the stride after the line, he was actually probably had the bob. So never mind, they both ran super, and we'll push on, and I'm sure there's plenty more in store for each of them.
Where to next now for I Wish I Win Moods? There's plenty of races, all age stakes, and then plenty of group ones in Brisbane as well. We'd love to see him up here.
Yeah, he won't run on the all age. He'll probably come to Brisbane for the BDC Cup and the Kingsford Smith, I would suggest. But the the Goodwood is still an option as well. So, but more than likely the two runs in Brisbane. And I see Think About It's going to nom for the Stradbroke. So if we nommed I Wish I Win, Think About It might help us at the weights a little bit. So anyhow, that'd be interesting. You never know.
Interesting, interesting. And Mitho, you did, I've got to give you, I will give you some credit because you did give Lincolnshire a push here on the show last weekend. And I'll tell you what, it was a rough start to the day for Moody Racing, Rosemont, my account. Geez, there was Buse was second, Moesha, which Moods just about declared on RSN on Friday, second. Legacies came out and won, and then the thing in Adelaide, the two-year-old, like I said, Lincolnshire, it wins, and it just turned all around, turned my punting day around, because unlike you, Rayman, I was on Chain of Lightning at 20s, but yeah, it certainly looked like you've got a good likely type there in that in the two-year-old.
No, she went well. She went super, and all hats off to Moods, who did his level best to keep things under wraps. I was pretty happy to let the punters know last week in the Moody on the Mic edition that she had a fair dose of ability. So I hope everyone followed up. I seemed to get a few little pats on the back. It wasn't me breaking my arm on Twitter on Saturday night with Lincolnshire Phillip. So. Happy for the punters and happy to have a nice one by Star Spangled Banner that, I don't know, we'll hope that she pulls up okay and we'll find another race for her somewhere, Moods, won't we?
I'd think so. Why not? She's travelled home well. It was a good win. She beat a stakes winner with an ease of form around her. I reckon that probably mightn't measure up to be a bad little race. So a good effort for her to win first go.
I'll tell you who might have had a little bit on Chain of Lightning and maybe Lincolnshire as well, Debbie Capitis, because that's how she apparently got the extra funds to grab the Winx filly for $10 million. So an extraordinary amount of money for a filly. And we've spoken about this in the past, that champion mares don't often throw good foals. But your greater knowledge, gentlemen, is that often it is the grand children, I suppose, is the way of putting it, of those champions who go on. So as a filly, it seems like a reasonable investment, Mitho, but still $10 million is a shitload of money.
Well, I reckon her ovaries are worth probably around $3.5-4 million. And Debbie Capitis already owning a third of that filly has to stump up, six and a half. So she's paid a couple of million for the racing upside, as opposed to that lunatic in America who was just paying flat out $9 million for the lot. When I say lunatic, God love him. Breath of fresh air, and people can bag him till the cows come home. And
you just got him a lunatic.
Oh, well, I think he's a self-confessed lunatic, isn't he? No, I don't think that's a term of endearment, really, these days, particularly on this show. Good on him for laying down his case. And you know what? I love the fact that he did what he said he was going to do. I'm going to buy her for $9 million. And that was his last bid, $9 million. Debbie had more. Good on her. Well done. And it was an amazing feeling to be in that ring when it all happened, wasn't it, Pete?
Well, I'd left Anthony. I didn't stay. So,
he pulled the pin about half an hour before he said, look, I might beat the traffic here. I think I'm out. I was like, you're not going to stay and watch the Winx filly go through? Nah. Off he trotted. Long neck on the balcony back at Coogee, was it, Moods?
Yeah, exactly. No, I had a bit of man flu on Monday afternoon, so I stuck off early, knowing Tuesday was going to be a big morning. But no, listen, Debbie Capitis, she's never hidden her love and admiration for both Winx and this filly foal. No doubt, heart ruling head. But listen, she won the Derby on Saturday, so yeah, she got a good chance there. She could afford to do it, and congratulations to her for doing it. She had to buy out two of her partners, and you really hope she gets a result. And if it's not racing with this filly, you would suggest, as Anthony said, her ovaries are worth her a lot of money in the breeding barn later on. So well done to all concerned. What was our American's name, man? John Stewart.
Yeah.
John Stewart. Hey, listen, he talked the big talk and he walked the big walk. Like you said, last bid, $9 million, phenomenal. And I think he spent 4 or 5 million on other stock at the sales, and I see he's gone to Twitter to select his trainers and his horses' names and everything this week. So, that is a breath of fresh air for Australian racing. So good luck to him going forward as well.
Just on that, before we forget about it, I think Rain Man needs to get involved on the Twitter platform. None of us run the Ladbrokes Australian Twitter platform, but where's the push up for our very own Peter Moody? You know, he's obviously not going to pump up his own tyres and reach around and break his arm, patting himself on the back. But someone from Ladbroke should be saying, what about Peter Moody? He's right up your alley, Johnny Stewart. You could do wonderful things with Moods and the team at Ladbrokes. Come on, Rain Man, get busy.
Mizzo? Yeah, no, I think we can get around that. I'll sort that out. Don't you worry.
Beautiful.
I don't know if it's the smartest business play to openly tell people who have got millions of dollars to push the price up in counter bids what you're willing to pay for a horse. I would have thought if you're a bit more savvy business-like, you would not make that public because they could easily just make you go up higher and higher. I'm not sure it was a great play by the old mate.
Oh, right. And you're a billionaire, are you, Rog? You want to give financial business advice, acumen advice to a billionaire? No, good on you. Well played.
You think it's a good idea to openly declare what you're willing to play?
It worked.
He didn't buy it.
Well, no, but he certainly, you know, made a splash and put on a show and got worldwide attention for not spending a cent.
Like, there was a bit of circus like atmosphere around the Winx filly in the lead up to the sale. I think you could see the amount of that. It wasn't just racing people that were interested in this story. It did have casual fan cut through, like a lot of things around Winx and horses like Black Caviar always have. But if you looked and saw the sheer volume of cameras that were pointing in Debbie Kapitas's direction after she bought the filly, it did show that the level of interest that there was in the sale of this horse. It was leading news on the nightly news programs. It was front page news on news.com and things like that. So it was a rare occasion now where racing did definitely break into the mainstream. And if you want to see the story of the Winx filly going through the sales ring, keep your eyes on social media channels this Sunday on Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes, we've been doing the Billion Dollar Baby series. We've had the first three parts. Moose has been involved as talent, telling the story of the English sale and basically give it a little bit of behind-the-scenes insight into the world of breeding and the world of getting horses ready for a sale. And we were there with the cameras when the Winx filly went through the ring at English. So that'll be out this Sunday on Ladbrokes social media channels, so keep your eyes out for that.
Well, I can't wait. I'm going to be up at Sparrows on Sunday morning looking for that. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, see where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Black Book, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbrokes.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Let's sink our teeth into the Group 1s at Randwick this weekend, day two of the championships, and it kicks off, the Group 1s do, with the Oaks and the long-awaited matchup between Autumn Angel and Orchestral. Rayman, run us through the market for this one.
Orchestral is the dominant favourite, the Vinery Stud Stakes winner. She is $1.60. Zardozi, $5. Autumn Angel, $7.50. You're getting double-figure odds the rest. Orchestral, she was workmanlike, I think was the term we used to describe her win in the Vinery Stud Stakes. She did have to work for it, but she does look as though she will truly relish the step up to 2,400 metres. So I think she is a deserving favourite. I think she'll be very tough to beat. The horse I do want to have something small on each way, though, is another Kiwi in the field, Quintessa. $14 to win, $2.60 the place. Ran really well in the Australian Guineas. Actually ran the fastest closing 200 metres in that race. And the form coming out of the Australian Guineas has been amazing. Southport Tycoon, the one winner, was scratched from the Doncaster. But V8 came out and beat the older horses in the George Ryder. Riff Rocket came out and won the Australian Derby last weekend. So that form's really stacked up well. And Quintessa was unlucky not to win the Alistair Clark Stakes at the Valley last start. So drawn ideally, barrier two. will get a gun run with Opie Bolson in the saddle. I think $14 to win is well and truly over the odds. Like $2.60 for it to run a placings are a really good bet as well. So Quintessa on top for me.
I'm glad you've come around, Ray, man, because after the Australian Guineas, I actually said on this very program that I thought the format of that race looked very, very good, and you questioned it. So you're welcome.
I did. No, hand up. You were a rare occasion, Rog. I'll admit you were right.
Look, I'm very much looking forward to seeing Autumn Angel go around with a featherweight compared to what she lugged last weekend in the wet, getting narrowly beaten. She's clearly class, but Orchestral is a star. She's a winner. She showed some great heart last start. Zardozzi presents a challenge, especially after that rest last week, and that makes me cautious and not keen to bet on her at $1.45. But I do think that Orchestral will be winning this race. But for me, it's not a betting proposition. And for that reason, I hope Autumn Angel wins.
I mean, set weights. She's the star of the show, isn't she, Orchestral? It'll be interesting when she steps up to four-year-old open grade racing and weight for age racing. But right now, she's the queen of this sort of trip. I think the key to this, and you're right, Rayman, she was workmanlike, in winning a Group 1, mind you, at Rose Hill. I think the key to this is Randwick. You know, she'll come to Randwick and relish that and the big track, and I can see her letting loose like Riff Rocket and winning like the best three-year-old with under the set weights conditions. So Orchestral, load up in all your multis.
Well, I think Orchestral has to improve off her win in the Vinery the other day, and she might well have. I think my filly can beat her, Autumn Angel. I was confident going into the Vinery. She's pulled up unbelievably well on the seven-day backup. Dropped 6 kilos or 5 kilos on that run last week, and I know that race rated well below the Vinery, but I think with improvement, better track. I'm thinking I can turn the tables. I think I can defeat her. Orchestral might just be a freak and be too good, but I'm tipping mine, Autumn Angel, 5 to beat 1.
The Sydney Cup 3,200-metre race. Rain Man, run us through the market for this one.
Very open edition of the Sydney Cup. The favourite is Circle of Fire. It's $4.80. Ashrun, $5.50. Calipore, the Tancred winner, $8.50. You're getting double-figure odds the rest. Really open, competitive race this one. There's two horses I do want to back here. The first is Ashrun, who I think is ready to peak in the Sydney Cup here. We saw this horse run an enormous race, went fourth behind without a fight in the Melbourne Cup in the spring. Has basically improved each time it's been sent at the races this preparation. Won the Pakenham Cup, came out and ran really well behind Calipore in the Tancred last start. I think it's a horse we know runs out a strong 3,200 metres. So Ashrun is the horse to beat for me. The X Factor, and I want to back it at double figure odds, is Serpentine, $11 to win, $3.70 the place. I do have my concerns over him running out a strong 3,200 metres. He was quite poor in the Melbourne Cup last year, but he's running really well this preparation. He'll go forward. He'll turn it into a staying test. And if he does run the trip, it'll be tough to get past. And I'm happy to take that gamble at the $11. So Ashrun and Serpentine in the Sydney Cup for me.
3,200 metres is just such a specialised distance. And you know, I want to be with horses who have proven they can run that trip. Ahmad certainly won. Ashrun, like you mentioned, Rayman. But I reckon the big value here is another Kiwi in Mahajaran, who won the Auckland Cup over this trip a month ago. It's an ask to back up at such a testing distance, but the form's been franked a little bit. Mark Twain flew home in that Auckland Cup to run third and then came out and won 2 weeks ago at Flemington, obviously not in a Group 1. You know, I think it's $17, I think Mahajaran is. Two from two at 3,200. Circle of Fire, you know, gets in with a lot less weight, but each way Mahajaran is how I'll be playing, each way all day.
Yeah, I've found one at a bit of value, I reckon, too. And I'm taking a spec on the trip because has never run at the trip, but bred to get it, Major Beal. And I see on Ladbrokes it's been the market mover. Opened when fields were announced and barriers drawn yesterday at $31 into $17, Major Beal. So almost half its opening quote. Gay and Adrian can do no wrong. Drawn three, will get a good run, will need it for first time 3,200 metres, but gets it. So I'd be happy to have a ticket each way on Major Beal in what is a bloody tough race.
Yeah, well, they could pull the hurdles out at the half mile, half these, couldn't they? In saying that, I wish I had one good enough to run in it, but fair dinkum. I think Ash runs 2 mile form, Melbourne Cup form. It's far superior to any of these. If he stands up, he wins it. I think Ash run the 3, fourth in the Melbourne Cup. Yep. Easy.
Easy. Wow. It could be easy in the Queen Elizabeth if some people are on the money here. Rayman, run us through the market because we do have a pretty hot favourite.
Yeah, Via Sustina was $2 early in the week, out to $2.30 now. Pride of Jenny, $4.40. Cascadia and the Old Marvel, they're at $9. The market mover, Mr. Brightside, $11 into $9.50. I think Via Sustina was very, very impressive in the Rambit Stakes, and recent history of the Queen Elizabeth does suggest that she will be extremely tough to beat. We've seen horses like a Dave, Dubai Honor, come out for this race, have a tune-up in the Ranvid or a similar race and just prove too good. And that could very well be the case here. But we have also seen situations where imported horses, they come to Australia, their first up run is amazing, and then they do take a step or two back second up. And if Via Sustina did take a step or two back, there are horses in this field that are capable of beating her. So no surprises who I'm going to be backing to beat her. And it is Cascadian, who was just a marvellous winner of the Australian Cup for the second year in a row. That was a brutally run race with Pride of Jenny in front. It blew up Mr. Brightside, but Cascadian kept on finding the line to win. So at $9, if Via Sustina doesn't produce her A game, I think Cascadian is the horse that can take advantage over 2,000 metres. So Cascadian on top for me.
Via Sustina made her rivals look second rate last start, and although this is a lot more a talented field, I can't help but feel she's going to spank them again. 8 runs at 2,000 metres. She's 4 wins, 3 seconds. She's 3 weeks between runs, proven Group 1 horse. I think she's got panels on them, and I'm more than happy to take the short quote.
Oh, I love that venom in that summary there, Rog. That I was sort of, as I usually do, you tell us which race we're going to look at, and I just throw a dart at the dartboard, and it came at Via Sustina, but you've just given me a lot to go on with. I'm confident now. I'm putting it in all my multis.
And I'm with you. The more you put it, the more you get back. I was at Rose Hill 3 weeks ago with Anthony when she actually won on that day. And I think a repeat performance just sees a beat these. Mr. Brightside, who would have thought he would have been 10-1 to Queen Elizabeth a month ago? Quite phenomenal. Cascadian was super in the cup. The other horse, Place de Carousel, is it? Place de Carousel. Probably just as much chance of running second here. Prior to Jenny, she was super the other day at the mile and a quarter. But, listen, I think she's the best of the locals.
Is this the last time, Moods, we're going to see Mr. Brightside at 2,000 metres if he fails again?
Well, listen, he failed again. He chased Jenny the other day. I don't think he'll be ridden in that manner this time. Craig Williams copped the wrath of owners for being too patient in the All-Star Mile, sat back, ran a phenomenal race. Pride of Jenny was just super that day. And then in the Australian Cup, he chased Pride of Jenny and Gassy. When ridden in a manner in the Cox Plate where he travelled within himself, he's got beat a lip by a Romantic Warrior at 2,000. So I don't think we can say he's a failure at 2,000 by any way, shape or form. And we know what a superstar he is, and we know how he loves Randwick. I would suggest to say nearly 2 wins and a second all at a mile at Randwick. Don't discount him, but Via Sistina did look super the other day in a repeat performance. I think that international form's just better than our mile and a quarter form.
I think we'll see Mr. Brightside at 2,040 metres, even regardless of the result here. I'd imagine he'll be going to the Cox Plate yet again. Let's go to the Queen of the Turf, the final Group 1 on the program at Randwick on Saturday. Rainman, what is the market doing on this one?
Chris Waller has a very strong hand, as he often does in this race. Sue Gotcha is the favourite, $3.60 to $3.40. A Tissue also in the noms for the Queen Elizabeth, but it's been $5 into $4.50. Tropical Squall for Waterhouse and Bot, $7. Alentia, $9.50. I've taken on the favourites in all the other races in the Group 1s at Sydney this weekend, but I'm with the favourite here, Sue Gotcha. I think she's an outstanding bet here. Her first up win in the Millie Fox was very good, where she beat Lady Laguna. who we know how strong that form has been. She was, I'll use the term again, workmanlike in the Coolmore with the big weight, but back to weight for age here. Drawn barrier one, J-Mac on. I think she's just a class mare in this field. I don't think it's necessarily a vintage edition of the Queen of the Turf, and I think she's comfortably the best horse in this race. I've got it marked comfortably shorter than $3.40, so Zugotcha, one of my best bets of the weekend.
Oh, I found it tough to go between Zugotcha and Tropical Squall, but I ended up going with Tropical Squall at the mile. Nice draw. She should be able to sort of sit up near the tempo. She gets a few kilos, obviously, off the older horses. I think in a pretty tough race, I'm going to side with Tropical Squall to win the Queen of the Turf. But, yeah, I agree, Raymond. I mean, Zugotcha's the obvious threat for mine and you know, would not be surprised in the slightest if she got up and won.
I'm with you. This is sounding like a broken record, but Tropical Squall for me. She did a good job from the wide barrier last start against Zugotcha. She drew the car park in that race. I can see her getting a much easier trip here. Adam Hieronymus goes back on, who seems to have an affinity with this filly. So Tropical Squall from barrier three, Gay and Adrian to win the Queen of the Turf Group 1 race.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiments there, Mitho. She's obviously very good and Hieronymus has a terrific record on her. But I tipped Zugotcha to win the Doncaster before she was withdrawn, so I've got to stick to her back to mare's grade. She's been impeccable this preparation. She's in great order. Both her and Tropical Squall, what are we, race 9, both drawn down low. Just keep an eye on that, punters. If that's going to be a disadvantage, then do you maybe look for something out wide? And closing well, even something like the New Zealand Filly Campionessa or Ruthless Dame out wide down the outside. But even play, even track, I've got Zugotcha on top.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, yard comment, and black book. Ladbroken. What's gambling really costing you?
Okay, we'll get our best bets out the way before we hand it over to Moods, because he's got a couple of likely types in Adelaide, a few in Melbourne, and obviously a couple of big runners in Sydney. But Rayman, where are you headed for your best bet this weekend?
Won't be a good result for the Ladbrokes book, but Randwick Race 10, number 1, red card, the favourite in the last, I think is going to be extremely tough to beat. Has always been a very good mare, red card, and I think she's gone to another level this preparation. The two race wins this campaign have been absolutely enormous on recent form, recent ratings. She's got an enormous edge over the rest of this field. Has drawn a little bit sticky barrier 14, but as Mood suggested, maybe that's not a complete disadvantage by this stage of the afternoon. So red card, race 10, number 1 at Randwick is my best bet of the day. Maybe even a little double Zugotcha into red card as well.
Yeah, I don't like to have my best as one we've already previewed and have already spoken about, but at $2.30, I think Via Sustina and the Queen Elizabeth race 8, number 8, is my best. But I am going to throw an extra little one out there at massive odds, just probably more a place bet because there's a $1.70 favourite. But Bendigo race 5, number 11, Mount Olympus, is about $26. I know the McAvoys have got a decent opinion of this horse and how he's progressing, and in a sort of benchmark 64, I reckon he's a decent chance in this one, certainly to run a drum, and you're getting about anywhere between $4.50 and $6. So Bendigo race 5, number 11, Mount Olympus, more the place, but definitely Via Sustina. I'm loading up there with my $25.
Righto. Well, I'm hoping that the Rosemont run can continue. We've got a few nice chances, particularly over in Adelaide, but I'm going to make my best bet, our most important bet, for a very long time, and that is with Schwartz in the Arrowfields three-year-old sprint at Group 2 level, but for all and sundry, given the Patent Committee haven't met for about 8 years since Peter Vlandys refuses to turn up to meetings, it's a Group 1 race. And he's a very smart horse, Schwartz. We think that if he was able to win this, it makes him a stallion. So it's an important bet given how much money we paid for him as a yearling. So his fingers crossed. I was there at Randwick on Tuesday morning to see him work, and he went absolutely magnificently. So if he takes his Tuesday gallop into Saturday, he will be extremely hard to beat. I think he's about $5 Rain Man in the market, second favourite behind Osmosis, the Coolmore winner. So a very important day for the Rosemont Silks, and we're hoping that we can get the prize in the Arrowfield Sprint. I think, Moods, you train all bar Treasureway over there in Adelaide. Treasureway's a really good each-way chance in the listed race over there early in the day, but I'll let Moods have his say on the Rosemont runners. We've got a few over there in Adelaide, and hopefully we can win another race or two.
Righto, yeah, the little boutique stable spread all over the place again this weekend, like last weekend. We had a three-state treble last weekend, Brisbane, Sydney, Adelaide. What did we say? Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide. So let's hope we can do it again. I've given you my thoughts in the Oaks. I reckon Autumn Angel can take it right up to Orchestral. Only time will tell whether I'm kidding myself, but she's in great order. And Anisa in race four, number five in the Percy Sykes Stakes. I thought she was tremendous in the Golden Slipper. She is taking on the Golden Slipper winner in Lady of Camelot. What's the odds there in that sort of race, Rain Man?
Lady of Camelot, $2.35. Anisa's been $7 into $5.50.
Righto. So I just thought Anisa would run very well. We didn't finish too far behind her in the Blue Diamond, didn't have a lot of joy in the Golden Slipper, and I thought that would see her running very well there, and certainly an excellent each-way chance. Slipping across to Adelaide, we've got race three, horse two, Rampant Lion, coming off a good win at Pakenham last start, benchmark 70-mile, regular rider Thomas Stockdale on board. I think he's a very good chance. Race three, number two, Rampant Lion in Morpheville. And then we skip across a couple to the Port Adelaide Guineas, another one of Mythos. It's a maiden horse taking on some horses with slightly better form, but it's not significant form to scare you away. A horse called Sabin. Thought he was very good in two maiden defeats at Sandown. Up to 1,800, I think he's well suited, and certainly not the worst each-way chance in race six.
$16, Moods.
Well, certainly not the worst. Race seven, the Aurora Stakes. We've got two nice fillies here, the three Quickster and the four Molly Knickers. Not a lot between them at home. Quickster's probably the one in form and drawn better. Molly Knickers will have to go back from a very awkward gate and need a lot of luck. So probably Quickster there, and she's probably nearly up there with the best of mine for the weekend. I thought she'd trained on very, very well from that run or last start win over there, actually. Obviously, in Victoria, we've got the standalone meeting at Bendigo this Saturday. We've got a few runners there. I'm just bringing up the fields there as we speak.
Just before you do, I'll give you a bit of breathing space, Moods. In that Aurora Stakes, Molly Knickers has been put up Ladbroke's $3 favourite, Quickster $5. So I'm not sure that that'll won't flip around when this goes to air.
Yeah, well, I just think Molly Knickers has probably got the best form lines, but I just see the way the race is probably going to be run. Quickster's probably going to get a better run in the race and is in slightly better form. And then across to Bendigo, race seven, the Bracelet for mares. Two nice mares here. We've got the two Shuffle Dancer looking to get back to form. She's drawn well. Blinkers on, gives her every chance. And the four Nunthorpe. She was unlucky in Adelaide the other day. She actually put a foot in a hole when she was favourite in the stakes race there. So both those mares, I thought, very good each-way hopes in race seven, both the two and the four Nunthorpe. The Bendigo Guineas, Roll on High, race eight, number eight, drawn the car park. But the last time she drew the car park, it forced us to ride a stone cold at Flemington and probably produced her best ever performance. And she's trained on very well for this race. So I reckon she can run very well there for us, Roll on High in the Bendigo Guineas. Certainly an excellent each-way hope. And that'll probably make up the most of my runners. So listen, my best, I'm going to go Quickster in the Aurora Stakes in Adelaide, but I think Autumn Angel and Anisa will give you a great sight in Sydney. It's great racing again. The weather looks pretty good here in Sydney. Looks like it might hold through to the weekend, a good track. Good luck, good punting, good health, and let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.